Welcome to the weekend watch list. What's going on? Charlie here with you. Another edition of the weekend watch list. The first in the month of, or the month of January, the year of 2019. Happy to do it for you. If you are unfamiliar with the weekend watch list, let's break it down here. It is all local sports first of the weekend, and then we will talk about anything national. This is maybe the easiest weekend watch list I've done in quite some time. Why? Because this is one of the best weekends in sports. It's very simple. You have all of the wild card games. You have a lot of Wisconsin sports sprinkled in. And you have the national championship to boot. And a few other smatterings of games that are worth keeping an eye on. So we'll get into it all right now. If you are familiar with us or you're not familiar with us, we do have other podcasts like the Daily Tap, and we also have Tapping the Keg podcast as well, which is great. Mitch and I do that every week, and part of Murph's Fantasy. I'm not sure if we're going to do Wild Card Weekend. I don't think so, but regardless, there may be a Daily Tap tomorrow in the Pardon Murph's Fantasy variety. Murph has shown me the light on the Saturday podcasts. All right, so let's talk about the weekend. Let's talk about the local sports first. It is a big weekend for your Milwaukee Bucks. They play the Toronto Raptors on Saturday at the Fiserv Forum, sold out crowd. The secondary market have ticket values in the 200s in the lower bowl. It is the place to be on Saturday night. It makes people forget about the Packers really quickly because they do, instead of watching wildcard football, everybody's eyes should be glued to the Bucks and the Raptors. That is a game that means so much for Milwaukee for a variety of reasons. Number one, if the Bucks win that game, they will then control the tiebreaker over the Raptors for the remainder of the year. So no matter what happens, the Bucks would have the tiebreaker. Number two, you kind of start establishing your dominance a little bit against Toronto. You've already beat them twice. If you beat them again, then it kind of looks like you're the better team. And now, you could make the argument that it would be good to learn from a loss from the Raptors, but why have it happen at the Fiserv? Let it happen on the road and do that. I mentioned on Tapping the Keg, but mentioned here too, Toronto with a travel kind of nightmare. They went from Toronto to San Antonio last night where they got their asses handed to them by the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan with his first triple-double. Then they're now going back to Milwaukee, playing their third game in 5 nights. It's a little tough. I mean, it's not easy for them. I mean, they are facing a team who's dealing with a back-to-back. So if you see a Raptors individual out tonight, make sure you're buying him a shot or get him a little drunk, get him a little goosed up. Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, no, this is a major game for Milwaukee. Definitely the schedule makers knew what they were doing here with a Saturday night game. You could argue that if they had a flex package, now ABC is, I think, comes back in a couple weeks with their Saturday night games, but this would be a premier game right now in the NBA with the Bucks and Raptors, the way these two teams are playing. It's on NBA TV if you're not in the area, but yeah, it should be a fantastic game. Before that game, in a classic look-ahead spot, in a classic, God, I'm a little nervous about it, the Bucks play the Hawks tonight. Now, it is the first game Mike Budenholzer's playing against his old team. I don't want to discount that from a letdown perspective. Mike Budenholzer definitely wants to win this game, and I know that the players around him want to win it for him. It'll be interesting to see if anybody gets the night off with having a back-to-back against the Raptors. Now, home back-to-backs are a little different than road back-to-backs. Why? Well, obviously, there's not a big fucking airplane you have to deal with. You go home, you go to bed in your normal spot. So it's not as demanding on the body. But the worst-case scenario would be if the Hawks keep it close, Hawks are a scrappy team, it goes to overtime, and you then have your players on fumes for a huge game against Toronto. Now, they may say, well, it's just the game, but I bring back that tiebreaker point, and it's like, is it really just the game? I mean, you kind of need this one from tiebreaker perspective. Like, it matters a little bit more, right? Like, that has to be true. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not the case, but I tend to believe that have some semblance, some that hold up a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong. You guys can weigh in. I mean, if you think, well, it's just a game, these guys should play full all gas, no brakes, as the Barstool Chicago people say, go ahead. I mean, absolutely. But I would rest at least out of this group of Giannis, Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, Eric Bledsoe hasn't, I think, had a day off this year. I would be fine giving Bledsoe a day off as well. I think any of those four guys are well deserving of some time off. And the Hawks are good, though. I mean, the Hawks are a little scrappy team. They've won a little bit on the road. So don't – Bucks Twitter, just chill the fuck out if they lose this game. Just so you know. They Hawks aren't bad. And also, the guys who've played for Bud are going to be motivated to play really, really hard tonight. I don't know how many of those there are. I think Ken Bazemore is obviously one. Torian Prince, I believe, is hurt. Is he hurt? I'm not sure. I don't keep myself updated on Hawks news. But yes, there's not a ton of former Hawks, but there are a smattering, if you will. Moving to the college realm, my friends at the Fiserv have a quick turnaround. They go from a 7:30 Milwaukee Bucks start on Saturday night to an 11 a.m. Marquette Xavier game. And that's a hell of a turnaround. Marquette takes on Xavier, Big East opener at home. I'll actually be in the building with our boy Pat. Looking forward to it. I think this is a game that Marquette, A, has to win, and B, they should win. Xavier is a shell of what they've used to be. They are a young team. They are a rebuilding team. This is a game for Marquette to take advantage in a little bit of a get-right spot for the Golden Eagles. After their loss to St. John's, where the defense sort of fell apart as it has against good teams this year, which is a tinge of concern. I wouldn't say it's a major concern. Their efficiency rating overall is really good, but against good teams, it's been kind of meh. So can you reestablish yourself there? Marcus Howard went in a little bit of a funk. Hopefully it's just a one-game funk. And if it isn't a one-game funk, how do you adjust? Who becomes the guy? I mean, if Marcus Howard's off, you need Sam Hauser to be better. I mean, Sam Hauser did have 10 points in that St. John's game, but he had it down the stretch. He didn't have it early on. He had 2 points for most of that game. You're going to need more from Sam Hauser. Obviously, Joey did pick up the slack on Tuesday, but there's no reason this should be a close game. Marquette should take care of business. They should win by 6 or 7 at least. I haven't checked on the spread, but they should definitely take care of business. This is not a difficult game for Marquette. Xavier is obviously a good team. No, I'm not trying to discredit them, but still, it is one of the probably in the lower tier of Big East teams. So you need to take advantage of those teams, especially when you're at home. And Marquette having an 0-2 start would be kind of catastrophic. I'm not going to mince words. It would be really tough, and even in a bad Big East. But these aren't like they didn't face two juggernauts to start the season. Going to the Wisconsin Badgers, they head to Penn State. So they'll be in Happy Valley Sunday night. Definitely a tough time for your boy. You have all the football, a little bit of basketball. I'll be burnt out. I don't know, by 6:30, I'll be like, oh my God, another thing. I probably will DVR it and watch it later. But truth be told, it is a tough spot for the Badgers. They lost last night to Minnesota in a really bad loss. They're at home. They just lost to Western Kentucky. They were a 9-point favorite. You'd think they'd come out and have some motion, have some piss and vinegar. And it's not that they didn't have emotion, but they only score 14 points. They are down 29-14 at halftime. They came all the way back, but they couldn't make a free throw to save their soul. They were 7 from 17 from the line. Ethan Happ was 1 of 8. They are kind of a mess right now, and now this is a must win. You cannot fall to Penn State on the road. Now, Penn State isn't bad at any, you know, they're not good, but they're not bad. They're not a bad team, but still, you can't have this type of resume loss, and you need to take care of business against the Nittany Lions. And it's a tough place to play. Wisconsin has definitely struggled there in the past. It is a tough gym, Bryce Jordan Center. Badgers are going to need it to kind of right the ship here a little bit. Now to the national championship game. So I know this isn't necessarily a weekend game, but and I was like, well, I could do a preview, but this is really where we talk the national stuff. Bama Clemson. Fourth straight year that we're seeing it, third time in a title game. There is, I think, a little bit of a fatigue. I think the Santa Clara as a choice in general, as we're looking at the landscape of college football and understanding that the Pac-12 just isn't what they used to be, was an awful choice. I mean, I know people said, oh, this was years ago. I mean, I guess at that time, Oregon, when they picked it, I think they picked it in like 2015 or 2016. And Oregon like was 2 years removed from being in the national title game. But still, like, I don't know, man. I get the idea of wanting to give the West Coast some things. But if you give the West Coast some things, it should be Los Angeles. It should be the Rose Bowl. Like, that should be the host. It shouldn't necessarily be this new football NFL arena. Or NFL stadium, it should be like, why not the Rose Bowl? Like, why wouldn't the Rose Bowl have this game? I mean, if the Rose Bowl had this game, you are not worried about ticket prices because everybody would go. It's in LA. It's easy to travel to. It's one of the iconic venues in America. The Alabama played there in 2009, 2010 against Texas in the national championship game. I'm not sure if Clemson has ever been. I'm sure at some point they were at the Rose Bowl, but it's been a long time. So I know the lure would be more there. With Santa Clara, you have to, the travel and a hotel alone are ridiculous. Why would you want to do it? You can't. It's impossible. It's really tough. So I think it's definitely a crisis. We'll see. We'll see what college football does. We'll see what the crowd's like. I think that's like the biggest headline because everybody's like, we've kind of seen Bama Clemson so many times. We know these teams. I do think Clemson has a real shot. I think Trevor Lawrence is a very, very good quarterback. I think he is unfazed. He just handles his business. I think the Clemson pass rush against Tua, who's not 100%, you know he's worried about that ankle. I think Clemson can really get to the quarterback. They won't have Dexter Lawrence, but it didn't really matter against Notre Dame. And I think they will frustrate Tua. I don't think he'll have the same opportunities as they've had in the past. Clemson has shut down the run. That's been not necessarily Alabama's game this year, but they've definitely done it as sort of a way to shake it up. And I think Clemson can shut that down as well. Travis Etienne also, too, is one of the more underrated players in college football in the backfield for Clemson. He could really be a difference maker. He could be sort of that X factor in the game. And yes, I'm leaning towards taking Clemson in this game. I think Clemson can win. I haven't really been that impressed with Alabama all year. I realize what they say. You don't make money betting against Alabama, but I am going to probably ride with Clemson. All right, let's get to the NFL weekend. I'm very excited. Even though the Packers aren't playing, I think all four games are really exciting and have things to watch. So you have the Eagles-Bears. That, to me, is my number one, partly because of the Bears, partly because of the Eagles-Nick Foles story, the Alshon Jeffrey return, Bears' first playoff game in 8 years. I do think that the first quarter is massive for both teams. If the Bears come out tight, and they kind of get hit in the mouth by an Eagles team that's been there before, and they get up 14-0. The Bears aren't really a team that is built for comebacks. Now, defensively they are. I mean, defensively they can put the clamps down and get it handled. But their offense is not necessarily one to make up 14 points or 17 points. And I could see that happening. But I just don't. I think I like what Nick Foles has done, but you got to remember, Nick Foles is kind of a statue back in quarterback. And I think with that said, the Bears are going to attack him. I think Chicago, from a blitzing perspective, is a terrible matchup for Nick Foles. I mean, he's going to have to get the ball out really quick. He's going to have to rely on Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood a bunch, and maybe even Zach Ertz. But I don't know. I mean, what's given the Bears fits have been slot guys, so maybe a Nelson Aguilar or something like that. But they've done really well against the perimeter. I like the Bears, and I think I like them to cover. I think the Bears take advantage of this. I think they win 21-13. And I think that, I just think there's a lot of like last year in everybody's head. I get it. I love narratives. I love that sort of shit. But I do think that the whole thing about Nick Foles being a statue against this kind of pass rush seems like the worst case scenario. And they need a little bit of a running game, and they just haven't had that all year. Staying in the NFC, the Seahawks, the Cowboys. You have the last time these two teams met in the playoffs, you had the infamous Tony Romo fumble at the goal line on a field goal. I was at a bowling alley, of all things. I was in high school, I believe, at the time when that happened. Wild game, though. But yes, I think Madden still was calling it. Just nuts. But Seahawks-Cowboys is a fascinating game. It should be a barn burner. I love that we get Joe Buck on a Saturday night. That should be a lot of fun. What you to look forward to is really Ezekiel Elliott versus Bobby Wagner. Someone pointed this out, that Zeke Elliott is number one in breaking tackles. He yards after carry, and Bobby Wagner has only had one missed tackle in like the last 3 years. So who's going to win that battle? The Seahawks have not been that good against the run this year. They've been kind of mediocre, actually. And so that to me opens it up for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I don't think the Cowboys have really played that well down the stretch. Defensively, they were really bad against the Giants. Now, how much do they care? Were they just playing a vanilla base? We'll see. They've struggled too against the run of late. They've sort of sprung those leaks. So it really is about ball control. It's an old school matchup. Who's going to control the ball more? Who is going to make it? Which running back is going to go off? And I'm going to lean on the best player on the field in this, and Zeke Elliott. And I'm going to take the Cowboys. I think it's a close game. I love the under in this. I think it will be the Cowboys by 4. I got them 21-17. Let's see. Since we did 21 for the Bears, 20-16. They get it done. Both home teams in the NFC hold serve. I really like what the Cowboys have done this year. I realize they, had some late season struggles, but the Seahawks are they're not smoke and mirrors, but I feel like what's been the best Seahawks win this year? Well, the Chiefs. But what's the road? I just like the Cowboys in this one. I think they get it done, and I think they're somehow a little underrated, and they are one of the more premier teams in the league. On to the AFC. Ravens-Chargers. This one I actually love more than I thought I did, and the reason why I love it is because I think people are missing the one thing that is sort of glaring to me. The Chargers have the tape on this Ravens team. This version of the Ravens, the Chargers face. Now, I understand it's a bad matchup. I understand the Chargers are built for a modern-day offense. So this, they have small guys. The Ravens can beat them up. I understand that. I also understand that it is a brutal West Coast to East Coast. Now, Kay Adams of Good Morning Football pointed out they're 4-1 in noon games. They've really handled their business this year on the noon side. It's not like this is the first noon game they've faced all year. I mean, people who made a big deal out of it, it's like, they fucking played a couple of them this year. Like, they did fine. It's not a big deal. So there are those two things. Also, too, if you want to go on the other side, the San Diego offense has seen what the Ravens do defensively. So you have all of that. And that, to me, adds up into I'm taking the Chargers. The smart money, I think a lot of the sharps are going heavy on the Ravens. More of the money is on the Ravens right now. But I think it's a more closely bet game than the one we'll talk about next, which is very interesting. But I have to look at this and say, okay, I think there's a little too much hype on the Ravens right now. I think the Chargers can win this game. I think there is a Phil Rivers hasn't won a Super Bowl sort of win one for Phil. That'll definitely be in the mix. I know he's struggled. He's had his own sort of what the fuck moments in the playoffs. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But again, this should be a great game. I'm very much looking forward to it. I think I'll take the Chargers 24, Ravens 14. I think it actually is a very, they win convincingly and get it done. All right, last one, Colts-Titans. Very interesting. So I love the Colts. I've been all over the Colts this week. I thought, wow, the Colts are going to win. They're going to face the Chiefs. Like, I have seen it all too clear. Now, these two teams, mind you, have split the regular season. They both won on the road. So there is definitely a, you know, they're pretty even. But then Darren Revelle had where the money's coming in right now. 86% of the money for betting is coming in on the Colts. 86! That's way too much, man. That is way too much. So I have to go with the Texans. That is just a complete bat signal. The public is all over the Colts. And maybe the public's right. Public can be right every now and again. But you have to fade the public in that situation. I understand why people think the Colts are going to win. Andrew Luck's looking great. T.Y. Hilton, though, might be a little hurt, but he's okay. Eric Ebron can have a massive day against a Texans defense that is not great against tight ends. The pass rush, their offensive line has done a great job standing Andrew Luck up. So, yeah, there are a lot of things, and their defense is really good. And the Texans have no receivers besides DeAndre Hopkins. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best players in the game, one of the good guys in the game. He's donating his game check to a girl who died, who was shot in a Walmart parking lot in Houston. Just a class move by DeAndre Hopkins. That said, I don't really like Houston in this game. This is more of a fade the public play. I like Indianapolis a lot. But I'm going to fade the public. I'm going to take Houston in this. I have the Texans winning a very exciting Saturday afternoon game. 31-24. Texans get it done. I think they will advance and go on to face the Patriots. So if I am right, we have next week we'll have Patriots-Texans. We'll have Chiefs-Chargers. We will have Seahawks, Saints, and we will have Bears, Rams. All four great games. Looking forward to that. To wrap it up, the last part of the watch list, just some NBA and college hoops games worth watching. Mavs, Celtics tonight. You get Luka headed to the Garden. You have also Thunder, Blazers. Pretty good ESPN doubleheader on tap for there. College hoops, you get a couple top 25 matchups. You have Michigan versus Ohio State. You have Florida State, Virginia. I can't watch Virginia. I'm sorry. I apologize to Titus and Tate. I just can't do it. And you also have Indiana, Michigan. So Big Ten kind of takes the spotlight of the weekend for college hoops. All right, that does it for us. Like I said, maybe a daily tap tomorrow. I think there's enough there where we could talk, do a little 10 to 15 minute check-in tomorrow. If we do that, we'll talk to you tomorrow. If not, we will be back Monday to recap what should be a wild weekend in sports. All right, take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.